Hey, it's Latte from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, New York Times Radio, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, April 29th, and John, there is a cultural battle raging in New Orleans, says journalist and filmmaker Lolis Eric Eli. In Trem, a quintessential New Orleans neighborhood, a vital center of musical and political innovation, uniquely the city's own, he says the battle's in high gear. He's taking a hard look at the neighborhood, which is struggling like the rest of New Orleans to recover from Hurricane Katrina. This neighborhood is trying to save its own legacy. In Faubourg Tremé, his documentary, which premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival, Eric is on a quest. Lolis, you were filming before Katrina and after, beyond rebuilding the unimaginable destruction there. What's happening to the brilliance of innovation that's come from Tremé?
Well, even after the storm, when so many of our people have been scattered, we find that we realize the preciousness of our culture perhaps more than ever. So I would say that the culture remains strong, even though in a whole lot of ways the city's in an incredibly weakened position now.
What makes Tremé so special?
Well, as the city of New Orleans was growing, we're talking about back in the 1700s, Tremé became one of the first suburbs of New Orleans. And a whole lot of free people of color lived in the Faubourg Tremé. So what you get is black folks who were artisans, who were writers. In fact, the first anthology of African-American poetry came out of Tremé. Perhaps most importantly, after New Orleans fell during the Civil War, you had this whole civil rights movement taking place there, even before the rest of the South had fallen.
You're a columnist for the New Orleans Times-Picayune, right?
Yep.
A Metro columnist. So, it strikes me that, in your street reporting and in this documentary and also thinking of the history of New Orleans, this is a battle, the battle for the cultural uniqueness of New Orleans that's going on for hundreds of years. Yeah. Whether we're talking about battling the river or battling the kind of immigrant waves or battling politically.
Yeah.
It's a really, really deep kind of struggle that New Orleans has been going through.
Well, one of the things that's hard to explain to folks in the rest of the country is that the great enemy of New Orleans culture is American culture. And it's like, which is not, I don't have anything against American culture per se.
Yeah, right.
But I'm saying,
But isn't New Orleans culture part of American culture?
It very much is. And that's also part of our point. But what I'm saying, though, is that the idea of folks coming in with all the fast food and all the sort of top 40 radio that then dilutes our own music and our own culinary heritage is a big battle that we've been dealing with since the Louisiana Purchase.
Well, has Katrina sort of tipped the balance there? Has Katrina sort of really put the battle in favor of the dilution?
Hard to say yet.
Hmm.
Because those of us who were there are still fighting, and a lot of the traditions are stronger now in that people realize, wait a minute, it is not an option not to go out to the parade today, or not an option not to do a St. Joseph's Day altar in that Sicilian tradition, because we have to, other folks are not here to do it for us.
Jazz Fest starts this week. What evidence in Jazz Fest, which of course is a major cultural event in New Orleans and for the Western Hemisphere, what evidence there is there that Katrina has mixed things up, maybe diluted things down?
Well, Jazz Fest has always had a mix of local and national acts. But what people who've been coming to Jazz Fest for 20, 25 years always liked was the sense that they would go in there to hear stuff and find things that you might not know about if you didn't go down there. But increasingly, they're having national acts and international acts, in part because to try to make the economics of a festival that big work, they're going to end up having Bruce Springsteen or Sting or Santana, all of which are wonderful musicians. But ain't the same as going down there.
You hate him. You want to go away.
isn't there?
I can see you walking around with a no Sting sign.
Isn't there some level of necessity given the absolute destruction following Katrina? And how do you build that up? And secondarily, are those musicians and those artists, are they still in New Orleans? Have they come back?
What one thing that folks miss is that while there are vast stretches of residential areas that are still vacant after the storm, a lot of the city was indeed on high ground. A lot of areas of the city, like if you came there tomorrow, some of the stuff we would have done 5 years ago, most of it we could still do. And there are a lot of musicians there even now. We could go in New Orleans 7 nights a week and hear good music.
Yeah, it's still amazing. Yeah, I noticed one of the executive producers of your movie is friend of public radio, friend of music, and certainly friend of New Orleans, Wynton Marsalis. Would he agree with you that there's a danger of this dilution? He backed your film. I don't know if he's a zealot like you are, but
Wynton and I've had this discussion, and Wynton's big concern about Jazz Fest is that the one opportunity for jazz to be front and center, to say, look, this is what's important, becomes diluted. You know, how are you going to have a jazz musician in terms of popularity and so forth be on the stage next to Sting and not have it be clear that this is the one who's more popular, this is the one who's more prominent?
Just to get back to your documentary, I watched it, and I was actually in New Orleans covering Hurricane Katrina before it hit and the floods that followed afterwards. And one of the themes that you capture, there's this wonderful quote by a woman who says that the disaster is not greater than the people in New Orleans, and that the will to live and fight again will always be there. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that will to fight.
Well, that's Brenda Marie Osby, who's the former poet laureate of Louisiana. And what has happened is that we realize now that it is not automatic that a country is going to come to our rescue. And that if we don't participate in these battles, if we don't try to rebuild New Orleans, it may well not happen. And that, well, it's been frustrating that the nation hasn't rallied more from a governmental perspective.
Lolis Eric Eli, columnist for the New Orleans Times-Picayune and co-director of the Faubourg Treme, The Untold Story of Black New Orleans.